This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
كل العلوم سوى القرآن مشغلة إلا الحديث وإلا الفقه في الدين العلم ما كان فيه.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على عبد الله ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. So we continue with the hadith of Anas in Bulugh al-Maram in Kitab al-Zakah, and we have reached as far as the discussion on silver. Before that, or before we get into the discussion on silver, insha'Allah ta'ala, I wanted just to cover a few outstanding issues that we haven't spoken about. The first one is, we've been talking about camels and we've been talking about sheep, and so far we haven't spoken about i'tibar al-hawl, the passing of 1 year. And the reason we haven't spoken about that yet is it hasn't come in the hadith. It's going to come in a future hadith, but just for the inshallah ta'ala, we will get to it shortly, but just for the purpose of the lesson, so that everyone is clear, when it comes to the camels and the sheep, there is still what we call consideration given for the passing of a year. And that's true in almost all of the kinds of zakah, with limited exceptions we're going to talk about. But generally speaking, in most of the kinds of zakah, we have to have this condition, which is, we say it, or we refer to it is as إِذَا حَالَ عَلَيْهِ الْحَوْلِ, if a Islamic Hijri year passes. So that means that it's not the first time. Let's say, for example, someone has 39 sheep, for example. They have 39 sheep. It's not the case that the first day that they go and buy the 40th sheep, and that then now they have 40 sheep, that now the zakah is due upon them. That's not the case. Rather, the case is that it is when a year has passed by. So they have the nisab, the minimum amount, and a year has passed by. However, there are a lot of issues around that consideration of a year. Like, for example, when do you gather things together? When do you bring things together that you have added during the year? So to give an example, a person, let's say, has an investment, for example, and that investment returns money during the year at different times. When is that consideration given? The salary that comes monthly, when is that consideration given? Somebody swaps, camels for camels. So they sell 10 of their camels in return for 15 of a different kind of camel, for example. So all of these are things that we have to come to later on. But just the general concept is that a year has to pass by, and that year is a Hijri year. Also, we haven't spoken yet about urud al-tijara, the goods that are business goods or trade goods. So here, when we've been talking about camels and sheep, we've been talking about camels and sheep that are not trade goods, in the sense that the person is raising camels and sheep, they are raising them, and it's not the case that I have bought these 10 camels to sell these 10 camels next year, for example. I've bought them for the purpose of selling them, or these are set aside for the purpose of selling them. They are the camels that are part of, that's what the person does. They're a camel herder. That's their, you know, that's the kind of property they have, or they're a shepherd or an owner of sheep, for example. So it's not here, we're not talking about the ones that are prepared for trade. We're not talking about the trade goods. And by the trade goods could be anything, which could be, for example, cars, it could be houses, but it's something that the intention is to sell it. It's being prepared to be sold. It's prepared for sale. Those trade goods, we're going to come to them later on, inshallah ta'ala. And those trade goods, whether they're camels or sheep or cars or houses or anything else, they have a different ruling. So the camels here are not taken in the normal way. Rather, the value of those camels is considered and the zakat is paid upon the value of the camels and not upon the camels themselves, like where you take from the every five camels a sheep, so on, and then from 25 camels you take bintu makhald, for example, as we've learned in the hadith. When we're talking about trade goods are a completely different category. So we want to make it clear that when we're talking about camels and sheep in the previous lessons, we're not talking about those which are prepared for trade. It's also, or we also mentioned last time, a tais, that the Prophet ﷺ excluded wala tais, not the tais. And I translated the tais as a ram. Actually, the original word tais in the Arabic language refers to the male goat. Now, if you remember, we said when we're talking about sheep in the hadith about zakah, the shat and the ghanam, that they actually apply to sheep and goats and, you know, all of that class of animal, be it sheep, goats, or the variations of sheep and goats, it applies to all of them. Now, here we said the tais is generally the male goat. It's the male goat. However, it's also mentioned in some of the ahadith, taisul ghanam, the tais from the ghanam. And the ghanam is the shat, is the al-da'an and al-ma'as. It refers to both the goats and the sheep, or the sheep and the goats. So we said here that whether you translate it as a ram or a billy goat, it doesn't really make any difference because the principle is the same. Not to take the male that is used for breeding. So you don't take the male that is used for breeding. And we said there are two reasons why you don't take the male that is used for breeding. One of them is because the male that is used for breeding is useful to the owner. So it's harmful to the owner to take away the male that he uses for breeding his animals. And also, it's harmful to the person who is receiving the zakah, because the person receiving the zakah doesn't get the same value for the male as they would for the female. So we said in general, the zakah as it relates to camels and as it relates to sheep and goats is generally paid in female sheep, goats, and female camels. We spoke about an exception to that, which we had mentioned in the hadith regarding the one who doesn't have the bintu makhad, the female bint makhad camel, but he has ibnu labun. He has ibnu labun. So he has a male camel, which is a year older. Then he can give the male camel, which is a year older, as we already come to in the hadith. But generally speaking, we've understood that camels and sheep are both given female. So we're talking about female sheep, female goats, and female camels, she camels. We now come to the part of the hadith that deals with silver. And we're going to also talk a little bit about money, although that will also come later on. So we're through to the part of the hadith that talks about silver. The Prophet ﷺ said, وَفِي الرِّقَّةِ فِي مِئَتَي دِرْهَمْ رُبُّ الْعُشْرِ فَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُنْ إِلَّا تِسْعِينَ وَمِئَةٍ فَلَيْسَ فِيهَا صَدَقَةٍ إِلَّا إِنْ يَشَاءَ رَبُّهَا. So we'll deal with this part first. The Prophet ﷺ said, فِي الرِّقَّةِ. الرِّقَّة, it refers to silver. And it's also called al-wariq, al-wariq. It's called al-fidda, and it's called al-riqqa, and it's called al-wariq. And these are all terms for silver. And it doesn't matter whether that silver is minted or not. I think that's the word they use for madruba. Like the scholars say, madruba aw ghayru madruba. Whether it is, and I believe the right term is minted, I, whether it's pressed into the shape of a coin, like an official coin that has been weighed, or whether it's just a block of silver or a piece of silver. It doesn't matter whether it is a block of silver, as in a silver bar, or whether it has been produced into the silver coins, which were the dirham and nabawi, as it's called. And dirham and nabawi, the prophetic dirham. Because obviously we have dirhams now that we think about the dirham in terms of, for example, the UAE that has dirahim, that has dirhams. But we're not talking about that dirham here. We're talking about the dirham, which is the dirham al-Nabawi, which was a silver coin. The dirham was a silver coin, and the dinar was a gold coin. So the silver coin was referred to as the dirham, and the gold was referred to as the dinar. And they were both madruba, aslan, yani. They were produced into a set, weight, and pressed and minted into a specific coin. But it doesn't matter for the purpose of the zakah whether the silver is madruba or ghair madruba, whether it is minted and pressed into the shape of a coin, or whether it is not minted into a shape of a coin. It's just like a bar or a piece of silver. وَفِي الرِّقَّةِ فِي مِئَتَيْ دِرْهَمْ رُبُّ الْعُشُرِ. When it comes to silver, 200 dirham. 200 dirham is the nisab. Now, do you remember in the first lesson that we did in Kitab al-Zakah, we did some terminology. We talked about the nisab, and we said the nisab is the threshold, the minimum threshold. In other words, anything less than that doesn't count in zakah. It doesn't make zakah obligatory. It doesn't make zakah obligatory. So you have, let's say, 190 prophetic dirhams worth of silver. We're going to talk about what that is in grams and ounces in a moment. You have 190 prophetic dirham nabawi, the dirham that existed in the Prophet's time, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You have 190 of them. So you're not eligible for zakah. You're not eligible to pay zakah because you haven't reached the threshold. The threshold is 200. 199? No, 200. That's the threshold. So what is this 200 dirham? This 200 dirham is equal to 140 mithqal. 140 mithqal. Now, I didn't really find a good term for what the mithqal is. But 140 mithqal, like some people might translate the mithqal as an ounce, but it's not the ounces that we know today. So it's a mithqal. Let's just keep calling it a mithqal. 200 dirham of the dirham al-Nabawi is 140 mithqal. Now what you do with that 140 is you times it by 4.25 to get grams. So 140 times by 4.25 gets you the grams. So that's approximately, or to the best rounding that we can do, 595 grams of silver, which is approximately 21 ounces in the modern ounce that we use today. 21 ounces of silver, or 595 grams of silver. So 595 grams or 21 ounces. That is the threshold. That's the threshold. Now, I give you an example, because we haven't, and we're going to come to money later on, but for example, if an ounce of silver is 12 pounds, if an ounce of silver is 12 pounds, then that would equate to 252 pounds, because you times it by 21. So it's 21 ounces, it's 595 grams of silver. The Prophet ﷺ said, وَفِي الرِّقَّةِ فِي مِئَتَيْ دِرْهَمٍ رُبُّ الْعُشُرِ. There is a quarter of a tenth, and that is what you pay out. So it's not like the camels, where 5 camels are sheep, 10 camels is 2 sheep, 25 camels is bint makhald. It's nothing like that. Instead, it is a simple percentage. رُبْ الْعُشُرِ. رُبْ is a quarter, and عُشُر is a tenth. رُبُّ الْعُشُرِ is a quarter of a tenth, which is 2.5%. A quarter of 10%. Al-Ushur is 10%, and Rub' is a quarter. So a quarter of 10% is 2.5%. And that actually also tells you a nice way of working that out. If you struggle with percentages, a nice way of working it out is to simply divide the total by 10 and then divide it by 4. So for example, if I had £1,000, for example, worth of silver, so I'm going to give رُبُّ الْعُشْر, divide it by 10, that gives me 100, and then divide it by 4, and that gives me 25. So if you're, I mean, if you're good with percentages, it's fine, but it's a nice way of doing it, رُبُّ الْعُشْر, divide it by 10, then divide it by 4, 2.5%. So that's what you pay out. You pay it from the silver. So you take your silver coins or your silver bars and you pay 2.5% on those silver coins or those silver bars. As long as those silver bars are over 200 dirham nabawi, 200 prophetic dirhams, and that is 595 grams or 21 ounces of silver. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُنْ إِلَّا تِسْعِينَ وَمِئَةً فَلَيْسَ فِيهَا صَدَقَةً إِلَّا إِنْ يَشَاءَ رَبُّهَا. He said, if there is nothing except 190, meaning the person is less than 200, they've only got 190. This is an example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Otherwise, it would be the same for 150, it would be the same for 191. But he gave an example. فَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُنْ إِلَّا تِسْعِينَ وَمِئَةً. If you only have 190. So what would 190 do? You can work this one out for me quickly. 565. So 565 grams, for example. So if you only have 565 grams, which is 190 prophetic dirhams, فَلَيْسَ فِيهَا صَدَقَةً. There is no sadaqah due on this. إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ رَبُّهَا. Unless the owner wants to give it. So can you give zakah when you don't have enough money to reach the threshold? Yeah, of course you can. Can you give zakah on 100 grams of silver? Of course you can. Can you give zakah on 200 grams of silver? Of course you can. Can you give zakah on 300 or 400, 450, 500, 550? Yes, you can. But it's only obligatory when your silver reaches 595 grams, which is 21 ounces, and that is what we call 200 prophetic dirhams, and 200 dirhams that were used at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is 140 mithqal, and that is, as we said, 595 grams or 21 ounces. So sadaqah or zakah is possible, but only on a voluntary basis. And we're going to come to this zakah on a voluntary basis when we talk about money. So let's just, I mean, we haven't really got to the detail of money yet. But obviously money in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was gold and silver coins. The silver coin was a dirham and the gold coin was a dinar. And they didn't have paper currency or any other kind of currency, what is sometimes called the fulus. Not the fulus as in the Arabic slang kind of term for money, but the fulus as in the filth, the money that was not from gold and silver. That was not from gold and silver. They called it the filth or the fulus. That was not from gold or from silver. Like it might be made of copper, it might be made of brass, it might be a combination of different metals, nickel or something like that. So now in our time, we deal with money which is neither gold nor silver. And here, of course, in this hadith, it doesn't talk about gold or it doesn't talk about the zakah on gold. It talks only about silver. Gold is going to come later on, inshallah. So we're just talking about silver right now. But there's no doubt that money is comparable to either gold or silver. And that even in its origin, it's comparable to either gold or silver. So should we compare our money, which is our, let's say, pounds sterling or Emirati dirhams, for example, should we convert that into silver or gold? Should we consider that to be like silver or to be like gold? And here the scholars differed, because obviously you can consider it both ways. You can convert it to silver, you can convert it to gold. Originally, paper currency was backed up by gold deposits. So some people said you should compare it to gold. But in reality, it also has an element which is comparable to silver as well. I believe the strongest opinion in this is that you take what is more beneficial for the poor person, i.e. whichever the nisab, the threshold is lower, whichever the threshold is lower. Because if we consider it gold right now, then the problem is that gold may mean that many people never pay zakah on their money, on their pound sterling or their Emirati dirhams. They don't pay any zakah on it because it never reaches the threshold of gold, which might be £2,000, for example, or £3,000, which might be 10,000 Emirati dirhams or 15,000 Emirati dirhams. It comes to quite a lot of money. So maybe a lot of people would not have that much savings that they've had for a whole year, and it hasn't gone below that amount for the whole year. Whereas if we were to consider it to be equivalent to silver, if we would consider our money to be equivalent to silver, then zakah would be something that many people would be able to give. Because approximately silver, last time I looked, it came to around about £250. £250 being, I don't know what the currency, the exchange rate is right now, but £250, maybe like 1,200 or 1,300 dirhams, something like that, UAE dirhams. So it's very possible for many people to give zakah. Many, many people can give zakah if we compare it to silver. So I believe that money isn't compared to gold or silver, but it's compared to whichever of the two is most beneficial for the poor people. So if the threshold for silver is lower because the price of silver has gone down compared to gold, then silver is used. And if the price of gold goes down and silver goes up, then the price of gold is used, whichever is more beneficial for the poor people. So here, what we said is that if we take this and we look at this again in terms of money, then money is the equivalent of 595 grams or 21 ounces. Here, ounces is easier because when they give you the price of silver on the internet and the exchanges that give you the price of silver, then usually they give it in ounces. So 21 ounces of silver, last time I looked, was £250, which, as I said, is around about, maybe it could be 1,200 or 1,300 dirhams, something like that. So if you have that much money, I'm just going to talk in pounds now, just to make it easy. If you have £250 and that £250 has stayed a constant for a whole Islamic year. In other words, when it came into your account, it came into your account on the 1st of Ramadan. It came into your account on the first day of Ramadan. And it might have gone up, it might have gone down, it might have gone up, might have gone down, but it's never gone below 250. It's never gone below that 250. You took £250 in cash, it was given to you, and a whole year, 12 Islamic months passed by, and you never went below that amount. Then that amount, you give the zakah due on it. You give the zakah, which is due upon that amount, because it is equivalent to 200 prophetic dirhams. Because 200 prophetic dirhams was 595 grams, 21 ounces. And 21 ounces, roughly £250. It'll change, it'll go up and down by the day. But approximately, right now, £250, which, as I said, around about 1,200 or 1,300 dirhams, something like that. So that would be the amount that if you get that amount of money, or if the amount of money you had and you put your money together, now it's gone over £250, okay, start the calendar. Whole 12 months goes by, 12 Islamic months. In that 12 Islamic months, it never went below the threshold. If it went below the threshold, we start the counting again. We start the counting again. We only count once it starts above the threshold. Then we start counting the dates, and then it comes to 12 Islamic months, and a person then gives the zakah, which is a quarter of 10%, 2.5%. Now that can be complicated, especially when it comes to salary, because salary comes monthly, and because each amount of money has to stay with you for that 12 months. And we're going to talk about dhamm and nawr, or gathering the type of zakah together. Like, when do you put your money together and when do you keep your money separate? That's going to come later on, inshallah. But for now, just consider salary to be separate. So every month is a separate amount. Let's say somebody receives a salary of £1,000. And it's only what they save from that. So out of that £1,000, they save in the first month, let's say £100. So £100 didn't reach the nisab, didn't reach the threshold. It hasn't reached 250 yet. Okay, the next month they save another £100. So now they've got 200. But that 200 still hasn't reached the threshold of 595 grams of silver or 21 ounces. Now the next month comes, they save another 100. Now they've got 300. Now they've gone over the threshold. Okay, now they start counting. Now they start counting from their savings, from what is they haven't spent, is £300. It took them 3 months to get there. They start counting. 1 month goes by, 2 months go by, 3 months go by, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 Islamic months go by. And from 12 Islamic months, from the time that it went over the threshold, now they give the zakah on just that amount. On just that amount. Then they have other amounts that came in that are also due the next month and the next month or every 3 months or whatever it might be, because it depends on how much a person saves each month. But here, there is an easier way of doing things. There are two easy ways of doing things. So that's kind of the minimum standard. But there are two really easy ways of doing it. One is just to give 2.5% of the salary. Now, 2.5% of the salary is too much. It's more than the zakah, because zakah is only due on what you save. But even if you know you never save more than £500 a month, and you give the 2.5% on that, that's also allowed. You're giving more than you need. Because what you technically need to do, wait till the money goes over the threshold, the savings go over the threshold, start counting the months. When that 12 months finishes, then that amount of zakah is due. And then another pot of money, when that goes over the threshold, when that 12 months is due, then the zakah is due. But some people just find it easier, because zakah is such a small amount, just to give 2.5% of the salary, or 2.5% of what they typically save each month, even if they sometimes go below that, but they don't go above it. And also what some people do is, what they just look at is they look at their savings for a whole year. They look at their savings for a whole year. So here, somebody, let's say, for example, they start saving on the 1st of Ramadan and they continue adding to their savings. Let's say salary, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100. At the end of the 12 months, they pay on the whole amount of savings they have. That's actually too much also, because each of those amounts is considered separate for the purpose of zakah. So each one of them has to reach 12 months before it becomes eligible for zakah. However, a person can pay it early by just simply paying it on all their savings every 12 months, which is what a lot of people do. So they get to Ramadan, for example. There's no particular reason it should be in Ramadan. You can give zakah early, but you can't give it late. So if Ramadan for you is early because your savings didn't reach that threshold until after Ramadan, there's no harm in you giving it in Ramadan. But if your savings were due before Ramadan, you can't wait until Ramadan to give your zakah. You can't give it late. You can only give it early. So here what some people do is, let's just say, for example, first of Ramadan, person gets £500 in savings. Let's say a gift. Somebody gives them £500. There you go, £500. Jazakallahu khairan. Thank you very much. I take it, put it in my account. Okay, my money's gone over the threshold now. Over the year, they save, let's say, £2,000 in total. So they give the zakah on the whole £2,000. That is a sadaqah from them. Because actually, that £2,000 wasn't due. The zakah wasn't due. It might have been due Ramadan, and then 2 months after Ramadan, and then another bit 3 months after Ramadan, and another bit 6 months after Ramadan, because the amounts were going on during the year like that. The different pots were reaching the threshold during the year. However, some people just find it easier to give zakah on all of their savings after a year, and there is no harm in that at all. There are times when you have to do that, and we're going to come to them when we talk about jam' al-mal wa dhamm al-mal. When do you take wealth and class it as one amount, and when do you keep it in separate pots? So we said salary generally is kept in separate pots, which means that every month's salary is considered to be a separate amount of wealth for the purpose of zakah. But there are times when wealth is put together, is joined together and gathered together and kept as one amount. And in those cases, you pay zakah on the entire amount. You don't just pay zakah on the first amount that started in the beginning. You pay on the whole amount. So as we said, for salary, the easier thing is either just pay 2.5% of your salary completely, or 2.5% of what you typically save each month completely, or at the end of the year, look at all the savings that you had since you reached the threshold until a year passed and just pay zakah on the whole amount. But all of those three examples, you're paying too much. You're paying a sadaqah. You're paying more than you need to give. Because what you need to give is, you get some money from a separate source. The money comes in. The money is above the threshold. You start the count. When the count finishes for that pot of money, you pay zakah on that pot of money. And when the count finishes for another pot of money, you pay zakah on that one. But keeping track of that might be more difficult and might be more complicated than a person who just says, okay, I went over the threshold on the 1st of Ramadan, so when the 1st of Ramadan comes next year, I pay zakah on all the savings that are in my account, regardless of whether they came early or late or whatever. I just pay it on the whole amount, which is a sadaqah from that point of view, but it's easy for people to do like that. So this is the nice thing about zakah. There's a minimum amount you have to pay, but there's also the possibility of paying early. There's the possibility of paying, estimating how much you'll pay and paying it early. Of course, when you pay on time, you can't estimate. You have to work out exactly. But if you pay early, you can estimate. I can say, I think my zakah this year will be £1,000. Okay, let me give £1,000 today in zakah. And when the time actually comes, I check to see whether my zakah was actually £1,000 or whether it was less or whether it was more. And then I give that money accordingly. And as we said, you can give more and you can give it early. And that's especially helpful if you don't want to be really precise in the amounts, in terms of when each amount is due, and you just want to take it generally, because most people earn from a salary these days. And so people say, you know what it is, after I pay my rent and my bills and my basic needs, I have left this much money, and at the end of the year I pay zakah on the whole amount. That's giving more than what you need, but alhamdulillah, that's an option when it comes to the zakah. We continue with the hadith, because the hadith goes back to the topic of the camels. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَمَنْ بَلَغَتْ عِنْدَهُ مِنَ الْإِبْلِ صَدَقَةُ الْجَذَعَ وَلَيْسَتْ عِنْدَهُ جَذَعَ وَعِنْدَهُ حِقَّةُ فَإِنَّهَا تُقْبَلُ مِنْ فَإِنَّهَا تُقْبَلُ مِنْهُ الْحِقَّةُ وَيَجْعَلُ مَعَهَا شَاتَانَ إِنِ اسْتَيْسَرَتَا لَهُ أَوْ 20 دِرْهَمًا. The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever's zakah from camels reached giving a jada'a. Reached giving a jada'a. Can we remember? What's the amount? What's the number of camels for which you have to give the jada'a? If you can't remember from memory, what helps is to start from the beginning. So 25 to 34 is what? Is bintu makhat. And then from, what's the next number up? Then from 36 until 45 is bint labun. Then from what? From 46 until 60. That's where 60 comes. From 46 until 60 is hiqqa. And from 61 until 75 is a jada'. So that's the one we're talking about. From 61 until 75. So here, the zakah we're talking about is someone who has between 61 and 75 camels. So they have to give a jada'. But they don't have a jada'. They don't have a jadha'a, camel. They don't have a jadha'a, camel. So that's the camel, the she-camel that reached its fifth year. It's reached the fifth year. 4 years have gone by and it's into its fifth year. They don't have it, but they have a hiqqa. They have a hiqqa. So they don't have the jadha'a, but they have the... They don't have the jadha'a, but they have the hiqqa camel. So what do we do? Here, the person, they don't have the right kind of camel to give. We've already spoken about an example of this in the beginning of the hadith. In the beginning of the hadith, in which the Prophet ﷺ said, فَفِيهَا بِنْتُ مَخَاضٍ أُنثَى فَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُنْ فَابْنُ لَبُونٍ ذَكَرٍ. So if he doesn't have a bint makhad, then he gives ibn labun, a male camel that's a year older. Now what happens? He owes a jada'a, but he doesn't have a jada'a. He doesn't have the jada'a. He doesn't have the jada'a camel, which has completed 4 years and entered into 5 years. He has the hiqqa camel. He has the hiqqa camel. So the hiqqa camel is the one that's completed 3 years and has entered into the fourth year. Completed 3 years and has entered into the fourth year. So his camel is a year too young. Is that clear? He's got a she camel. It's a female camel, but it's a year too young for the zakah. So he owes a jada'a. He owes a camel that has passed 4 years and entered the fifth, but he's only got a camel that has passed 3 years and entered the fourth. So his camel is a year too young. So what does he do? So his camel is accepted from him. فَإِنَّهَا تُقْبَلُ مِنْهُ الْحِقَّةِ. His hiqqa camel is accepted. وَيَجَعَلْ مَعَهَا شَاتَانِ. But he gives along with it two sheep or goats. Two female sheep or two female goats. إِنِ اسْتَيْسَرَتَ لَهُ. If it's easy for him. If it's possible for him. If he finds, if it's convenient for him. So here, he doesn't have the right age camel. His camel is supposed to be 4 years complete going into the fifth year. And instead, he's got a camel that is 3 years complete going to the fourth year. It's a year too young. So what he does is he gives two sheep in its place. He gives it along with two sheep. He gives the younger camel and he gives two sheep. But what happens if he doesn't have the two sheep? Because it might be that he doesn't have the two sheep. It might not be possible for him to buy the two sheep or to get the two sheep. It's not possible for him. Or 20 dirhama, or 20 prophetic dirhams, or 20 prophetic dirhams. 20 prophetic dirhams is 10 dirham each. 10 of the prophetic dirhams each. And each one of those is 2.975 grams. It's 2.975 grams. So 10 dirham, 10 prophetic dirhams is 29.75 grams. 29.75 grams. And he needs to give two of them. So he needs to give two times 29.75 grams of silver. So here, there are a couple of issues. The first issue, and this is really the big issue is what they call ikhraj al-qima. Are you allowed, instead of paying in camels, just to pay in money? Are you allowed, instead of paying in sheep, just to pay in sheep? And the opinion of Abu Hanifa rahimahullah ta'ala, and it's a narration from Malik, and it's also a qawl of Ash-Shafi'i, but it's not the well-known opinion from them. It's the well-known opinion of Abu Hanifa, is that it is permissible to pay the zakah in money. If the person doesn't want to give the actual camel, he can give the value of the camel in money. If he doesn't want to give the actual sheep, he can give the value in sheep. Others said, no, it has to be paid in the one that is mentioned. It has to be paid as a hiqqa, as a jada'a, as bint labun, bint makhad. It has to be given like that. unless the person doesn't have it. And if they don't have it, then they bring the younger camel plus two sheep. And if they can't do that, then they bring the younger camel plus 20 dirhams. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala took a different opinion. He said it is mura'at al-maslaha. So it depends on what is most beneficial for the poor people. If it's better for them to have it in monetary value, and if the person wants to give it in monetary value and the zakah collector agrees to take it, then it's permissible for them to do that. However, in my opinion, Allah Azza wa Jalla knows best. I think that it should be given as the animal itself, if that's possible, because that's the opinion of the jumhur, the majority. So it should be given it shouldn't be given as value, as monetary value, unless the person isn't able, it's not easy for them, or they're not able to do that, in which case they can agree with the zakah collector to pay the value in money instead. So here, that was one issue. The second issue is this 20 dirhaman. The Prophet ﷺ set it. He set it at, as we said, 20 dirhams. That is 10 dirhams per 10 dirhams per sheep. And that equates to, as we said, 29.75 grams of silver. Now, if we look at a gram of silver being around about 40 pence, UK pence, then that works at only 12 pounds for a sheep. Now, as you can see, that is way less than what you would pay for a sheep. I'm not sure exactly what you would pay for a sheep, but I'm gonna put a guess on it. I'm gonna say around about 100 pounds, perhaps, or 80 pounds, or something like that. But it's definitely not 12 pounds. So you're looking at maybe a quarter. The price the Prophet ﷺ gave is about a quarter of the price of a sheep today. So should we go with the price the Prophet ﷺ gave, or should we go with the value of two sheep? Is it clear what I'm saying here? So should you go with the value of two sheep? In other words, should it be the case that someone doesn't have the right camel, so he gives the younger camel, and he gives the value of two sheep, whatever the value of those two sheep is in the price, is in the price today? Or should he go with exactly what the Prophet ﷺ said? And if it's not easy for him to get the sheep, he just goes ahead and he gives exactly 20 prophetic dirhams in silver, which would be around about 24 pounds UK approximately. There are different opinions in this. Some of them said that when the Prophet ﷺ, he said 20 dirhama, he was giving the price of the sheep as it was set in the time of the Prophet ﷺ. And others said that no, this is a permanent thing. If he can't find the sheep, he gives 20 prophetic dirhams of silver. Two opinions that the scholars have, and Allah Azza wa Jal knows best. I again will say that and Allah knows best, that I believe that you should do what is most beneficial for the poor people. So if the reality is that the price of two sheep today would, let's say, cost 200 pounds or 150 pounds or something like that, then ultimately for you to give 24 pounds is less beneficial to the poor people. It's less beneficial. And generally the principle in zakah is you should look at the maslaha of the fuqara, the need of the poor people. And if the poor people, obviously, for you to give 24 pounds or for you to give 150 pounds is a big difference for the poor people. So I think it's safer for you to give the larger amount. It's safer for you to give whichever amount is larger, either the value of two sheep or the 20 prophetic dirhams, because the price of silver goes up and down. Whichever of the two is more beneficial for the poor person. However, it seems that here the preference is given to the two sheep, and then if he doesn't find the two sheep, to the value of the two sheep, which the Prophet ﷺ set at 20 dirhama, at 20 prophetic dirhams. And as we said, 20 for prophetic dirhams is 2 times 29.75. 10 prophetic dirhams is 29.75 grams. The hadith continues. وَمَنْ بَلَغَتْ عِنْدَهُ صَدَقَةُ الْحِقَّةُ وَلَيْسَتْ عِنْدَهُ الْحِقَّةُ وعنده الجذعة فإنها تقبل منه الجذعة ويعطيه المصدق 20 درهما أو شاتين. So here The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever is due to give the hiqqah. Can you remember how many camels you have to give the hiqqah? So start at the beginning. 25 to 35 is Bint Makhat. 36 to 45 is Bint Labun. 45 to 60 is the hiqqah. 61 to 75 is the jada'. So this person has got between 46 has got between 46, between 46 and 60. Between 46 and 60. And they are due to give the hiqqah. The hiqqah has 3 years, has entered into fourth year. But they don't have one. And instead, they have a camel that's a year older. So their camel is worth more money. It's a jada'ah. It's worth more money. So now what shall they do? Shall they give the jada'ah and lose out? Because if they give the jada'ah, they're giving something that's more money than they're supposed to give. They're supposed to give the three-year-old camel, but they're giving the four-year-old camel. So should they give the four-year-old one and lose out? The Prophet ﷺ said, it will be accepted for them to give the jada'ah. It's allowed for them to give it. But the person collecting the zakah has to give them back 20 dirhams or two sheep. 20 dirhams or two sheep. Here the choice came. 20 dirhams or two sheep. And the same issue comes back. Is it the value of the sheep today, or is it the 20 dirhams is the cash alternative no matter what? 20 dirhams, as we said, in silver is 10 dirhams, is 29.75 grams of silver, which is roughly around about 12 pounds, if I'm not mistaken, as according to the price of silver today. And the hadith, rawahu al-Bukhari, al-Imam al-Bukhari narrated it, and that brings us to the end of the very, very long hadith of Anas radiallahu an with regard to the zakah. We're going to stop there, insha'Allah ta'ala, because already I'm sure everyone is a little bit confused with regard to camels and sheep and how many camels and what kind of camels. But inshallah ta'ala, as we said, if you go through it, you practice it, you keep it in your mind, you keep following the pattern inshallah, then it will become clear inshallah ta'ala. And as we said, there are other issues which we still haven't covered relating to this. We haven't finished the topic of zakah on camels and sheep. There are issues of when do you, if you get sheep during the year, when do you count them as part of your flock or keep them separate? And there are other issues as well about what, whether, as we said, things like whether you can pay purely in money or not, or whether you have to convert that into sheep or camels first and so on. So there's a lot of discussion still to be had, inshallah ta'ala. And that's why the book of zakah continues for quite some time. So we still have a lot of hadith to deal with, inshallah ta'ala. But that's an introduction to the zakah on camels, sheep and goats, and silver. We still haven't talked about gold. We haven't talked about urud al-tijara. We haven't talked about al-hubub al-thimar. We haven't talked about grains and fruits. We haven't talked about business, trade goods. And we haven't talked about other kinds of zakah as well. But we have just given an introduction to camels, sheep and goats, and silver. Why is it that Anas had only those in his instructions from Abu Bakr radiallahu anhuma? Because that was the wealth that was present with the people he was going to. The people that he was going to in what they called at the time Al-Bahrain, what we call now Ihsa, that those people, that's what they had. They had camels, they had sheep, and they had silver. So that's what Anas was given the instructions for, and others were given different instructions. And we're going to come to the hadith of Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, in when the Prophet ﷺ sent him to Yemen, and that includes zakah upon cows and so on. So we have a bit more information in that, inshallah ta'ala. Jazakumullah khairan for watching. Please subscribe, share, and you can visit muhammadtim.com.